We're going to be diving into Luke 15 right after our prayer, but let's pray together. I need it. Heavenly Father, we praise you more than we can say. Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful news and the wonderful outcome from the lawsuit against Maggie. We thank you so much that you've given her a good answer there and a refreshing answer, that you stood with her through the whole thing and encouraged her. Father, we thank you that Taylors have had two little healthy grandbabies, and that you watch over those little ones and help them both to get out of the hospital well, the one that's having a little difficulty, and the mom as well, Father. We thank you so much for watching over just 1,000 prayers here, Father. Every day you take care of so many details. We praise you and thank you for all those answers. We thank you for those who are here today. And we pray, Father, that your will be done through this lesson and through our understanding and following of your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke 15, verse 1. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. Brady, I don't know if you're back there, but this is a little bit bright. The microphone's a little bright. One of the things is I've got such a big mouth, I'm so loud, and everybody else who stands up here is much quieter than I am, so it's hard to balance the microphone for all the different voices. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near him to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And so he told them this parable, saying, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Just say, bah. Bah. We're the sheep. One of the most enduring and endearing parables and similes in Scripture is that we are as sheep before God. And just like antelope on the plains of Africa, sheep are safer together. When you're in a group, you find the water, you find the green grass, you are protected from storms. There's always a sheep with its head up looking out for danger and difficulties. But you get one sheep off by itself, going over the hill, and it's in trouble. Sheep don't do well alone. Sheep don't do well alone. I talk to people who've handled sheep and herded sheep, and the common word that always comes up is how dumb they are. How really, really foolish sheep are. And if you just pick up a newspaper and flip through a few pages, you know, of Section A, you come up with, boy, people are dumb. People are really foolish. It's a pretty good simile, isn't it? It's a pretty good metaphor for us to think of ourselves as sheep. And Jesus, in what Morgan's just read for us, Jesus is the great shepherd. He's our shepherd. And when we get off, nobody loves us more than he. And he loves us when we're together, but he's the one who makes sure that he tracks us down and finds us over hill and off the side of the cliff, in the middle of the desert when we can't find anything to eat and we're dying of thirst. Christ loves us enough. We're not always smart enough to turn around and follow him back. But he's our shepherd. Now, catch on that this parable was told while Jesus was sitting with the
sinners, right? One of those great images of Christ not hanging around the righteous folks, not hanging around the religious, not hanging around the learned. He's off with the common folks, with the sinners. And the Pharisees were, you know, a few times they were almost willing to accept him because he was such a good teacher and he really seemed to know God and he really had this kind of spiritual edge to him. And okay, but what's he doing sitting with sinners?
Jesus says, I've come to find lost sheep because sheep need to be together. You know, and Christ gives us this, the most beautiful description of him as shepherd is in John chapter 10, but we're not going there. We're going in a totally different direction. Because Christ gives us something else today. Christ gives us something else, and it's found right where Mogens was reading in 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 1. Therefore I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elders, and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you. One of the things that we dearly need in this congregation is more elders. CB and I have I think every weakness in the book. You probably know them all and see them all. But we dearly need more elders. And see what titles God gives elders in Scripture. Repeatedly, they're called shepherds. In fact, the word elder is just one of three names that are given to the position that we have as elders. The first one, let me give them to you in kind of a Greek mix, is presbyteros, which means elder or older person. Then there's episkopos, which is what the scripture defines as overseer. And then there's poimen, which is shepherd or pastor. So elder, overseer, and shepherd are the same person. And all you have to do is read 1 Peter 5 to see that. Therefore, I exhort the elders, the presbyteros among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd or poimen, the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, episkopos. All three are given in that one sentence, and I'll show you again in another description where all three are put together. We have this beautiful gift. Now, it doesn't matter how differently you photograph CB and I, you'd never look at us and see us as a beautiful gift, okay? It just isn't going to happen. But God has done something really remarkable. He has gathered his Christians, his children together in a church. And then he says, you look among yourselves and choose men to shepherd you. You know yourselves. You know each other. You know who you are. In Timothy and Titus, he gives us a list of qualifications for an elder. And he says, you choose. You don't have a committee halfway across the country deciding who's going to lead you, who's going to shepherd. You don't have some lightning bolt from God, you know, designating one person or two people. You choose yourselves. And we look at the responsibilities and we look at the qualifications and we look around us and we say, okay, Father, I think I got it. I think I got it. Let's look at Acts chapter 20 and get these titles straight. Acts chapter 20, and we're going to see the same three titles, put together for the one job, which probably makes them not titles but descriptions, right? Acts chapter 20 and in verse 17. Paul is traveling through, and we read, from Miletus, he, meaning Paul, sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, okay? Now that's the word presbyter. He called the presbyters. And the first part of what he says is all about what Paul's going through. He tells them what the history they've had for each other, and Paul tells them about what he sees in his future. But then he says in verse 28, he turns the conversation around a little bit. Now he's talking to them personally, and he says, be on guard, Acts 20, 28 now, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Again, the three words used in rather quick succession, an elder is an overseer who shepherds the flock. A presbytos is an episkopos who poimens the flock, if I can just tear up Greek and English all in the same sentence, if you don't mind. Okay? Those are the three words, and they're interchangeable in Scripture. And oh, by the way, in King James English, overseer is translated as bishop. So if you read bishop in some of yours, it's the word overseer that we have more commonly in modern translations. Our elders are to be elder folks who qualify in what's written in Timothy and Titus, who are supposed to shepherd us. And in fact, Lauren, I wish you all could have heard his lesson, and I'll just imitate some of it now. Lauren gave us meaning one of our small classes, an outstanding lesson of the responsibilities of an elder. CB and I were sitting in the corner of the table next to each other, and as he went through every responsibility, we winced more and more as we could see all of the shortcomings we had in that. But let me quickly go over with you the list that Lauren gave us for responsibilities. In Acts chapter 20, what we read in verse 28 is, be on guard for yourselves. Or if you're reading King James, I believe it reads, watch ye. It's a command. You watch out. You stand guard for the flock. And this command is a serious defense of the church. He's calling men to stand up and stand guard, watch guard. You've got guard duty tonight, and by the way, every night. You protect the flock. You watch out. You look out for dangers. And he just, as he describes them, verse 29, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. So there's dangers from the outside. There are wolves that are coming into this sheep fold. It'll rip up the church. In verse 30, and from your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things. You've got dangers outside, and you've got dangers inside. And an elder's first job, as Lauren taught us, is to be on guard. Number two, in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 11 we read, he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as poimen. And teachers, or pastors, or shepherds and teachers. The list in Ephesians 4:11 is a list that includes elders. Imagine the mistake being made when the word pastor is synonymous with preacher. Okay? Think of the difference between looking among yourselves, taking the list out of 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, and looking among yourselves and choosing men who are qualified to be elders, and saying, these men I know, these men whose lives I know, whose characters I know, whose faith I know, whose heart I know, whose family I know, they'll be our elders. Imagine the difference between that
and taking somebody who comes in and tries out for a position, and you know them for a couple of weekends, and you know their families only by name, and you've forgotten most of those, and you either hire him or you don't hire him, and all of a sudden he's your pastor, he's your preacher. And then you take all of these responsibilities given to shepherd the body, given to shepherd the church, to one man who you only know over a couple of weeks' time. First of all, in the New Testament, we have the word elder in plural whenever it talks about the group, the people working with the church. There's always a plurality of elders. And second of all, they're not people who come in from the outside to be hired. They're people you choose from the inside. And third of all, they're not necessarily the preacher. They might be your preacher if you ask the preacher to be the elder. But that's your choice, not somebody else's choice, you see. And so when you read Ephesians 4:11, we need to be using the words right, because if we don't use the words right, we'll be giving the wrong people the wrong jobs. Preachers are supposed to preach the word. Elders are supposed to look after the lives of the church. They're supposed to watch out and protect and do what we're going to get to next. So when we read pastors and teachers in verse 11 of Ephesians 4, he's talking about poimen, shepherds, or as we say, elders. It's the same word. It's the same connection we had. That's why I was so clear about titles. So when you talk about a pastor, you're saying elder. You're saying the same person. Pastor and preacher are not synonyms in the New Testament. Pastor and elder are synonyms in the New Testament, at least in this position. So, verse 12, what's his job? For the equipping of the saints, read this with me, would you please? This is a beautiful passage. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine and by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is even the head, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. You know what that just said? Elders are supposed to work, equip the church for work, so that the church can be mature, so it can be equipped for work. You got it? You work to maturity, you mature to work. It's a beautiful cycle. And the elders are supposed to be at the equipment shed, passing out the equipment. Like, you know, we got a garden to grow, and they'll hand you a rake, and they'll hand you a shovel, and they'll hand you the seeds, and they'll hand you the rest of it. And we got a garden to grow. And the elders, and the evangelists, by the way, are supposed to be at the equipment shed, passing out the equipment so that the body can work, can do its work of service, so that we can be mature. And we can be mature so that we can do the work. It's us who's supposed to grow. So the second job, the first job of the elder is to watch out. The second job of the elder is to grow the church or mature the church, is to know the church and know the word well enough to bring one in connection with the other. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we have a connection with the position of elder without using the name. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, but we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you. The oversight, the over you, is a
It's another connection to overseer or elder in the Lord, and give you instruction, that you esteem them highly in love because of their work. Live at peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. In 2 Thessalonians, that connection, that description gets a little stronger. I'll just read this quickly in 3:6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which we received from us. And in 14, if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him so that he will be put to shame. Lauren taught us that the third duty of an elder is to discipline the congregation. And it seems to fit nicely under the growing the church, because as Christ grows us, he disciplines us. As you grow your children, you discipline the children. And look how beautiful. We just get mentioned about the elders in verse 12 and 13. And in verse 14, we're supposed to admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. What a beautiful description of all of us. We're all in there somewhere. You know, who hasn't been unruly at times and needed admonishment? Who hasn't been weak at times and needed help? Who hasn't needed encouragement? We all fit beautifully into that passage. And that discipline needs to come from the men who know the body, and additionally from the body itself as we grow together. So disciplining the church is the third responsibility. Number four, we've discussed already, but the word found repeatedly, shepherd or pastor, you'll find sometimes in your Bible the word feed. Instead of shepherd the flock, if you had the word feed the flock, just line through it. Anybody, I mean, don't raise your hand, but anybody here ever taken care of large animals, right? Ever taken care of a herd of large animals, you know, sheep or goats or a couple of horses? All you have to do is feed them, right? Just throw some food in their direction and they're fine. No, shepherding isn't just feeding. Shepherding isn't just feeding. You gotta keep them together. You gotta watch out for diseases. You gotta comb them. You gotta brush them. You gotta muck out their stalls. You gotta do about 100 other things. You gotta check their teeth to see how healthy they are. You gotta make sure that they don't do something else that's stupid or you know, wander off in the wrong direction. And you lose one animal. You lose one animal and you say, oh, no trouble, no problem. Okay, let's go home and have breakfast. No. You don't ever do that. As soon as you're missing an animal, you go, you look, you search. You do whatever it takes to find it and pray that it's still okay. Shepherding is just feeding? Not on your life. Not at all. Shepherding, in fact, is a beautiful description that includes all the rest of what we've been talking about. And you can't do it without prayer. And in James chapter 5, verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. James 5, now 14. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. The elders are called to be people of prayer. I didn't have time, and you could go back to Acts chapter 15. And in Acts chapter 15, don't bother. We don't have enough time to do all the rest of this. In Acts chapter 15, there was a problem in the church, and it was the apostles and elders that sat and met over it. It said it four times in one chapter. The apostles and the elders in Jerusalem gathered together and worked through the problem. The apostles and the elders. The apostles and the elders. And so it seemed to me that apostle, before they had elders, apostle was fulfilling this responsibility of elders. And look what happens in Acts chapter 6 when they first choose deacons. In Acts chapter 6, when they first go get deacons, the problem is that somebody's getting ignored in the body. Greek Jewish widows were getting ignored. And so look at verse 2. So the 12 summoned, that means the apostles, summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you or among yourselves, you choose, 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The apostles said, we have work to do, and we can't stop our work to make sure that the widows are fed. Wait a second, I thought taking care of widows was one of the biggies in religion today, right? Widows and orphans, isn't that what James says we're supposed to take care of? This is an important job, but the apostle says we've got a bigger job to do. So let's spread the work around. You choose some deacons, and we're going to keep working. And the work is prayer. Prayer and the ministry of the word. Our word, our work is prayer. And one of the jobs that elders have is to come and pray with you and pray for you and pray over you. Now, Bill Williams taught me something really neat about James 5 about a month ago. So, James 5, the word sick is often translated in the New Testament weak. It doesn't necessarily mean physically, infirmed as with a disease. It means somebody who's engaged in their own human weakness, the weakness of the flesh. Now listen to this verse. If you, just like many other places in the New Testament, they use the word weak there. Is anyone among you weak? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is weak. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, see how interesting that gets? They will be forgiven him. And you're struggling, and you're hurting, and you're in a dark part of your life, call your elders. Call your shepherds. They love you dearly. So that they can pray with you and pray over you and help you through the tough time. Prayer. The fifth listed responsibility of elders. You see, we are the sheep. And God, in his wisdom, hasn't just given us the shepherd Christ, the great shepherd. He's given us hands-on shepherds. And we're right in the middle of a time when CB and I think we're ready to bring forth more names before the congregation. But we want those to come from the congregation, not from us. So please look among yourselves and talk among yourselves that we might lift up men. Select men from ourselves who qualify with what is written in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. That we find men who are qualified there to be our shepherds here for hands-on shepherding, for personal connection. And I guess CB and I just ask your patience and forbearance and forgiveness for the weakness and the struggles we have trying to learn how to be the shepherds like Christ is and Christ wants us to be. You can see we need a lot of help. So let's raise up more men to be shepherds here. And if you're a sheep who's lost or sick or been eating foul food and got yourself in a bad way and you need real nourishment, if you've been in trouble, just like Jesus said, he'll leave the 99. CB and I are supposed to leave the group and go off and collect and find the weak and the hurting and the lost and bring them back home. If you've been there, if you're lost or weak or hurting and you need to come home, we lift up Christ before you and ask that you make your commitment to him and come home to his body, his church, his flock. If you're ready for that or have any other need that we can help you with this morning, please come forward while we sing the song that David selected.
I am thine, O Lord, I am thine.